Galatians chapter 6. We have the last two verses that stand before us. You see them on the screen there as well. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. Love that. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. That's it. That's it. That's the last. This is it. 41 messages later, and we can all go home. Ready? And see you later. Amen. No, the final words that Paul gives us in closing are unique. They're unique in the fact that they're short. A lot of times you'll find that the writers of various texts will begin their final statement. Like I think Peter does this great in like 2 Peter, and he starts in like chapter 3 and the book is over in chapter 4. You know, finally, brothers, and then, you know, this long, long remaining information. Paul here comes to close this out with a very personal and, I would say, dramatic end. And it may not sound very dramatic to you at first, but let me encourage you that it is quite dramatic, because the statements, the words that he uses here at the closing of this book are, when you hear them, you will be like, wow. At least maybe you will. Maybe you won't. I don't know. I think I was. I thought so. But I want to follow a simple outline this morning. The title of this final message is Branded by Christ. And that outline is threefold. You'll have it up here. This is just so that you know, this is the only notes that I have. So we're gonna hang tight to these. So there should be a number three there, and that three is gone. So whatever. Number one, bearing the brand of Christ. Number two, burdening those or the branded or those who are branded. And then thirdly, branding the brothers. The idea that the main point, the main concept behind what Paul is trying to communicate here is simple. That true brothers, real brothers, those who are actually Christians, true brothers are branded by the grace of God. We're marked by it so deeply that it affects us, and it affected Paul dramatically. So let's jump in. Let's take a look actually at the crux of this two verse passage that we have here, and then we'll kind of flesh it out a little bit further. Read that with me. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for, and this is the point that we're looking at right now. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Francis of Assisi. Anybody know anything about Francis of Assisi? A little bit. He's quoted, or he's known to be quoted as saying, you know, what's that quote by him, which he didn't actually say, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. That's what he's attributed to have said. He and I actually share a birthday, July 16th. Only his was 1181. 1181. We don't share much of anything else. He died October 3rd. So, 1224. So just a few days ago, you could have celebrated the death of Francis of Assisi. He was venerated or canonized as a as a saint in the Catholic Church just 2 years after, on October 3rd as well, just 2 years after he died, which is interesting because it doesn't normally happen, and it never really happened that fast. But because of Francis of Assisi's life, and specifically something that we're going to mention here in just a moment, they moved really quickly. Francis actually started out as not a believer of any real kind, but born to a very wealthy family. And he went, this is my little history buff moment here, so just bear with me. And I'm looking up and to the left because I'm trying to access that information. He grew up in a wealthy family, but he went to war. And instead of being slaughtered with the majority of the men, because the war that he went to fight was just a slaughter. Thousands and thousands of men just fell terribly so. But a few of them were noted and seen as having a little nicer armor. And so the enemy said, ah, they're probably wealthy or well-to-do. We're going to ransom them. So he was ransomed, but it took about 2 or 3 years for that whole thing to play out, from capture to ransom. And he was beaten and malnourished very badly. And during that imprisonment, he actually had a vision that he said was from God, that the Christian church needed to be rescued, and he was the one to do it. When he was finally ransomed by his wealthy father, he actually rejected his father's wealth, rejected his whole lifestyle, and took almost like a vow of poverty. Now, this is like in the 1200s, the early 1200s. So all these very normal Catholic things that we're used to hearing, vows of poverty and things, they hadn't really begun yet, so they weren't official vows of poverty, but he took this vow of poverty. And as a matter of fact, interestingly enough, as he was leaving his father and all of that, he saw a leper. This is important. This is very important. Hold on to this. He saw a leper, and he was impressed by God to go and embrace this leper and to kiss this leper. He said of the experience that it was like a sweetness in his mouth. Gosh, that's just terrible. You know, I mean, just like, oh. He would then take to living a life similar to Christ. He began wandering, and he picked up 12 people that were his closest confidants. And they would wander through doing good with this vow of poverty. And people would say, look at how similar he was to Christ. Many people believed that he was insane, but others believed he had such incredible intent devotion that his life was so very marked by Christ that everything about him, Francis of Assisi was the very first person to have ever been afflicted supernaturally, this is what is reported of him, with the stigmata. Have you ever heard of the stigmata before? It's a Catholic myth about receiving supernaturally the marks in the hands and the feet and the side of Christ. About 2 years before he died, he had this stigmata happen to him. That's what he said. Most scholars believe that it was leprosy. Why do you think that happened? The sweetness in his... Oh, just terrible. That had never happened before. No one had ever seen that before, but it was attributed to these marks. Even though he lived among lepers and ministered to lepers consistently, nobody ever thought it was leprosy, even though his hands would get worse and worse and it would grow. But it was said to have started in his palms, and that's why. And it was The word stigmata is not used often throughout history. But Paul uses it here. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the stigmata of Jesus. The marks of Jesus. I have been branded by Jesus. This is not Paul saying that he was the first. Francis, take a side seat. I got him first. That's not what he's saying. No scholars of any repute believe that he was saying that I actually have the stigmata. What he's saying is I bear in my body the branding, the marking, that which aligns me with Jesus more than anything else. My body is so expressive of Jesus and what I have suffered for him that all you must do is just look at me and you will see Jesus in my wounds. Paul was not saying there's some physical ailment that hit me like a flash of light and therefore I have these things. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that my sufferings that I have experienced have been for Christ, have been because of Christ, and I glorify my God in the midst of them. He bears the branding of Christ. This is similar to what he would say he would recount all the different things that would happen to him. And he would say, I'm speaking like a fool, but let me just tell you that I am circumcised on the eighth day and all of these different things. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. And he would walk through all those things. But then he would go and he would twist it a little bit and he would say, a night and a day I spent in the deep, shipwrecked. I would be whipped and flogged 39 times minus one or 40 times minus one. I would be beaten and I would be bruised and I would be harmed and broken. And the reason for it all, the purpose behind it all, was because people set to persecute him because of the message of Christ. And what we have here in the book of Galatians, if we just surveyed the rest or the whole book as a whole, as we come to the end, we would come to understand the reason why he was so branded. Because his message was contrary to every other person's message. The Romans would proclaim a multiverse of gods. You've got, and you know what? We'll just accept every god that you've got. You accept ours, we accept yours. Everything's fine. Caesar becomes a god and you must worship him. They venerate them. They venerate ancestors. They venerate soldiers. The Jews would reject that and they would say, no, there is no god but Yahweh. And even though Christ came and said, before Abraham was, I am, they rejected him. And by so doing, because they rejected the Son, they rejected the Father also. And therefore, their teeth were set against Paul as well and the early church. Because the one heretical move throughout every area of time and every other religion is to say, I am the only one who has it right and everyone else is wrong. And behold, Paul in the book of Galatians saying to them that would want to take Judaism and add it to Christianity, who would want to take the law and add it into Christianity, who would want to take all the festivals and feasts and all of the various things and just add it in, he would say, for this purpose, For this reason, I have been branded. I have been beaten and scoffed and scorned, and I have received the stigmata, as it were, the markings of pain, because I stand opposed to anything that would dilute the beautiful and wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ alone. That's it. It's the gospel of Christ. That is his rallying point. That is his hope. That is his joy. That is his only desire. And because that was what it was, the world was set against him. And the world is set against you who would also believe that all we need is Jesus. All we have is Jesus. Without Christ, we have nothing. With Christ plus anything, we have nothing. It's only by grace have you been saved. It's only through this trust and this hope in Christ alone and without anything of the law of Moses, of the old covenant, of anything that would want to dilute the purity of the gospel. They would want to put a weight on you or me that is contrary to the fact that Christ suffered for all of it and satisfied every single drop. He bore the brand of Christ. Do you bear the branding of Christ? Or is there something else that you want to add to Christ? Paul over and over and over would say in the book of Galatians, and now I'm going to tip my hand a little bit. The last point that we're going to cover is the branding of the brothers. And I'm going to take a little gusto away from my final point, you know, that 1-2 punch. But look at it for just a second. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Who is he talking to? Who has he been talking to? Who has he been dealing with? He's been dealing with those people who are truly Christian. He's not saying, okay, now listen, the Judaizers bad, they're lost. And they're trying to kind of squeeze themselves in here, but you guys know better. I get it. He's saying, no, you're falling for this. You're believing this. You're believing that we need to mingle into the beautiful gospel of grace. We need to mingle into that. All of this law keeping, all of this Old Covenant ritual, Sabbath keeping. Jesus is the Sabbath. If you have broken one command, it's as if you've broken them all. You have to take it all together. This is what Paul says here in Galatians. You can't just pick and choose what laws you can and cannot or do not or want to or don't want to put into your religion. If you take one, you got to take them all. And he clearly expresses it's not one of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the 613 commandments of the Old Covenant. If you're going to be a Jew, you better be a Jew. And if you're a Jew, then you reject Jesus. Because Christ says, I have satisfied all of it. As Demetrius mentioned just last Sunday, when he was in his Bible study, he mentioned the point. He said, the reality is that what happened in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was the satisfaction of every single individual law. And every single individual law, whether it was judicial, whether it was ceremonial, or whether it was moral, is moral. It's all moral. Because it's a command.
God issues a command to transgress that law is a moral failure.
Well, that's just a judicial failure. That's just a ceremonial failure.
Oh, so, got it. So you could keep the 10, but if you don't keep all the ceremonial stuff, you were okay in the old covenant. No. Not at all. So Paul here, in the book of Galatians, he's addressing Christians. He's addressing brothers, and he's saying, listen, this has to do with the gospel. But not just the gospel for the lost. The gospel for the saved. The gospel for those who are being sanctified. Because being branded with Christ and by Christ means being marked and continually looking more and more and more like Christ. And isn't that a definition of what we call sanctification? He bore the brand of Christ. He bore the branding in his body in a very specific way. He suffered this way. He had the stigmata, the real stigmata. Not the, you know, mystical, weird stuff that you make movies out of. He bore in his back the whips on his legs, on his chest, on his arms. The pain, the joyful, joyful pain of being numbered with Christ. You and I, all of us, we must find the branding of our Lord Jesus Christ, that which is most precious to us. Burdening the branded, or those who are branded. Look at verses 17, A and B, the first two statements. He says, the first one is a from now on. This is the last thing he has to say to these people. We don't have any other letters. Paul comes in and he says, all right, from now on, do you hear it? I hear it. You know, the last thing that he has to say is, from now on, don't you give me any more trouble. Do you hear? It's like a father, you know, coming in and saying, or what's his name for Lucy? You got some explaining to do, you know. It's like, from now on. That's some serious stuff going on. This is falling down hard. From now on, perpetually, continually, don't bring this up again. I hope you hear that. What he's saying is that you have been putting this burden upon me to prove my apostleship, to prove that my gospel is the right gospel, to prove that they're wrong and I'm right. I've done it. Done. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. You know, if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, well, that's pretty arrogant, you know? Hey, from now on, don't bother me with this petty argument. But what if I... No. I can't help but think of... not George C. Scott. The guy... Ten Commandments. Perfect. Yeah, Ten Commandments. Who played in that? Charlton Heston. Thank you. Right, so, okay, he wasn't even the one who said it. I don't know why I was so stuck on that. But anyways, so Charlton Heston, Ten Commandments. Has anyone ever seen that before? Fantastic. Okay, good. So like all of you. That's good. The Pharaoh, Ramses,
when all the things go bad and everything else and Moses' name should never be said, he says, so let it be written. So let it be done, right? Like, that's just such an arrogant. He's dead. Nobody talk about him. Strike his names from all the books. So let it be written. So let it be done. It's over. I don't think that the Pharaoh actually said that, but boy, it's a really strong statement, and it makes a really good point here in my message. So I'm going to go ahead and say it. So let it be written. So let it be done. And then sure enough, what happens? Moses comes back. I thought you weren't allowed here, buddy. But that's the kind of feeling. So let this be written. So let it be over. Do not come to me with this trouble again. There is strong words here. They're not arrogant. They're firm. Where we might feel there's a level of arrogance here, it's not arrogance. It is a fixed point. I will stand here on what God has delivered to you and say, this is the final word on the matter. There is nothing else that needs to be said. There is nothing else that will be said because I'm done. Amen. Right? I mean, like this one. Amen. These people had come to him and burdened him. And although we find at the end of this book such strong, hard, concrete, unwavering, listen, you got a problem with legalism? Read Galatians. Because I've said it and it's over. You got a problem mingling Judaism in with Christianity? Read Galatians. Because I've said it and it's done. But note here, he wrote the book of Galatians, this letter, he took the time. And although he ends it with such strong, concrete language, he took the time to come in and to address every little detail and come at it from every corner and every angle so that there is nothing left, no stone unturned. So that when it comes to mingling law and grace, we have a definitive, finite, simple, clear, abrupt. Just think, he wants those guys who are demanding circumcision to go ahead and emasculate them. And this is this book is probably one of the strongest books of the whole Bible. And he says, I have written it. You have it. Now live it. So are you burdening those who have been branded? Are you burdening other people, other Christians, other brothers with this legalism or with any legalism? If you are, then for God's sake, for His sake, stop. Let it be done. Let it be over. Let it be said, spoken, finished, and accomplished. Let it be this, that all you have left to do is read it and abide by it. Do not burden the branded, but be branded. Be one who is branded by this beautiful, simplistic gospel of grace. This is what he says here. Look at verse, let's read it again. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And what he's saying at the very close is, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. He says nothing about the law. He says nothing about works. He says nothing about effort. He says, let the grace of God be with, dwell with, inhabit your spirit, infused in with your spirit. Let God's grace just seep through every part of you. This is his final word. This is what he wants for these people that he has spent such effort and such power and such firm stance on. He comes in and he just says, grace.
grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin, grace, grace, infinite, matchless grace. This is what he's, just hold on to grace.
And then he brands the people here as brothers. He brands them as brothers. The grace of the Lord, or of our Lord, you hear that? The grace of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Now listen, in the Bible, if you read in any time you read in the New Testament, as you read Jesus' name, right? So we have a first, middle, and last name, right? Jesus didn't have a first, middle, and last name. Not like the Lord Jesus Christ or Jesus L. Christ, you know, Jesus Lord Christ, you know. That's not it, you know. His name was Jesus. And if you needed a qualifier, son of Joseph. And if you need another one, because there's a lot of Jesuses of Joseph, because that's, it would be like Josh of John. Which one? From Nazareth. Oh, that one. The crazy one who thought he was God. Yeah. We put him to death. Jesus had titles. And these titles were used by the authors of Scripture in particular order, because the Holy Spirit desired for people to hear, to read, and see a particular emphasis of who they're talking about. Sometimes you'll see that Jesus is just Jesus, and Jesus came walking down the way. So what are we talking about? Oh, it's a narrative, and it's talking about his person. You know, so this is a gospel, you know, narrative of what's happening. You'll have the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Or Christ Jesus the Lord, or just Christ Jesus, or just Jesus the Christ. All of these different orientations and all these different ideas are all purposefully trying to drive your mind and your heart to understand what the author, it gives it context, as it were. So what he's saying here is that the grace of our Lord, our Master, we are his servants. We have been branded. Listen, the idea of the stigmata, or the stigma, that word was used in ancient times during Paul's day to talk about slaves. To talk about those who had been branded by, like soldiers would be branded. They'd actually have a brand. Like, it's like an old form of tattooing. You're branded. People today do that. I don't know if you knew that. It's crazy. He says, Jesus is our Master. We are his slaves, his servants, his bondservants. We are his soldiers. We belong to him. He has bought us. And he says, the grace of our Lord. And then he says, Jesus Christ. He puts the title at the end to cause for us a progressive understanding of who he's talking about. He's the Lord Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one, who is our Master and our friend. Be with your spirit, brothers. And then there's an amen there. The amen is most likely not the last word that Paul wrote. Brothers is most likely the last word that Paul wrote. The amen probably came as a scribe through the centuries, writing this. Can you imagine like a 13th century or a 14th century scribe writing this down?
you know, and he's just writing and he's writing and he's writing and he's writing, and he gets to the end and he reads the stigmata, and his mind drifts to Francis of Assisi, and he's like, okay, well, but we're talking about, you know, like Paul is bearing, and then it's just, and then, oh, brothers. This is for brothers. This correction, this hard correction, this really difficult correction is for me. Because God loves me and doesn't want me to stay in my legalism, but to come out of it in full assurance of the grace of God and not try to be working my way towards the pleasure of God, but just recognize through the grace of Christ our Lord, He is already pleased. And He says, brothers. And the scribe says, amen. Amen. And just, you know, that song just comes to my mind. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You're the only one that started clapping, you know. In other churches, we'd all just started breaking out of it, and it would have been great. So, I understand where we are. It's fine. No. Amen. This is for you. This is for me. This isn't a salvation thing. This is a you and a me thing. This is a gospel thing for brothers and for sisters, for you and for me. This is break free from the falsehood of thinking that you've got to work and keep the days and the weeks and the months and the moons and the feasts and you've got to keep the dress and you've got to keep the kosher and you've got to keep the laws and the, you know, tie a rope between my house and somebody else's house so that on the Sabbath I can get there to get some food, you know? Oh, no, wait, you can't eat too much, so let's eat half of an olive because you're allowed to eat an olive. But just in case you accidentally ate another half of an olive before or after sundown or what, it's just, it's nonsense. And he says, no! God didn't put that in there anyway, the olive thing, just so you know. But when you go, and I'll close here. I don't know where we are, but as far as timing is concerned, but I'll close here. If you consider the idea of legalism, the idea of law keeping, and if that's the means by which God is pleased with His children, if He sees you and you keep laws, and therefore He's pleased with you, and so you just kind of garner more grace or more love or more whatever. I mean, I don't know what you would garner with God more of than what was given to you in Christ. Because we're heirs and joint heirs with the only begotten of the Father. Okay, so we'll just discount that for a second. To what line do you follow? Well, God is pleased with me if I don't watch pornography, but I can watch R-rated movies. Or, well, God is pleased with me if I watch R-rated movies. He's not pleased with me if I watch R-rated movies, but He's okay with me watching PG-13 movies. Oh, okay, well, but some PG-13 movies should be R movies. Okay, so God would be really pleased with me if I didn't watch PG-13 movies, but I could watch PG movies. Wait a second. Okay, PG and PG-13, they're really close. Okay, no movies. Cards were made by the occult, and if you play gin rummy, I don't know if I know how to play gin rummy. No, I do. If you play Go Fish, that's okay. But if you play the devil's game, Canasta, which is the devil's game, by the way, for totally different reasons, I just can't ever win. Where's the line? Pinochle, not good, but it promotes community. also promotes fighting. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We walk in the Spirit. That's what we do. We walk according to the Spirit. And we do not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Josh, are you just saying that R-rated movies and pornography are the same and they're free to...
No! My word, no. Walking in the Spirit says something is inherently evil and something is not. Is this inherently evil? Yes. Is entertainment inherently evil? No. Is this... You see, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
There is a law, but the law is the law of Christ, who comes in and sets it as his kingdom reign. And he says, don't think lustful thoughts. Don't think angry and murderous thoughts. Don't think stealing thoughts. Say, well, I can't do that.
Right! So trust in Christ who did. And that's the whole point. So he says, the grace, that's why he says, be a brother who has been branded by Christ. Do not brand other people. Know that you're a brother who is resting and residing in the grace of God. And he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It's his prayer. It's his hope. It's his desires. It's just that the grace that comes from Jesus Christ would be in and with and dwell alongside and beside and in and above and beneath and below, behind, between you. Brothers. Amen. Let's pray.